Passage 3.
Is business bluffing ethical? A respected businessman, with whom I discussed the theme of this article, remarked with some heat, "You mean to say you're going to encourage men to bluff? Why, bluffing is nothing more than a form of lying. You're advising them to lie." I agreed that the basis of private morality is a respect for truth, and that the closer a businessman comes to the truth, the more he deserves respect. At the same time, I suggested that most bluffing in business might be regarded simply as game strategy, much like bluffing in poker, which does not reflect on the morality of the bluffer. I quoted Henry Taylor, the British statesman, who pointed out that falsehood ceases to be falsehood when it is understood on all sides that the truth is not expected to be spoken. An exact description of bluffing in poker, diplomacy, and business. I cited the analogy of the criminal court, where the criminal is not expected to tell the truth when he pleads not guilty. Everyone from the judge down takes it for granted that the job of the defendant's attorney is to get his client off, not to reveal the truth. And this is considered ethical practice. I reminded my friend that millions of businessmen feel forced every day to say yes to their bosses when they secretly believe no, and that this is generally accepted as permissible strategy when the alternative might be the loss of a job. The essential point, I said, is that the ethics of business are game ethics, different from the ethics of religion. We can learn a good deal about the nature of business by comparing it with poker. While both have a large element of chance, in the long run, the winner is the man who plays with steady skill. In both games, ultimate victory requires intimate knowledge of the rules, insight into the psychology of the other players, self-confidence, a considerable amount of self-discipline, and the ability to respond swiftly and effectively to opportunities provided by chance. No one expects poker to be played on the ethical principles preached in churches. Poker has its special ethics, and here I am not referring to rules against cheating. The man who keeps an ace up his sleeve, or who marks the cards, is more than unethical. He is a crook, and can be punished as such, kicked out of the game, or, in the Old West, shot. In contrast to the cheat, the unethical poker player is one who, while abiding by the letter of the rules, finds ways to put the other players at an unfair disadvantage. Perhaps he bothers them with loud talk, or he tries to get them drunk. Ethical poker players frown on such tactics. Poker's own brand of ethics is different from the ethical ideals of civilized human relationships. The game calls for distrust of the other fellow. It ignores the claim of friendship. Cunning deception and concealment of one's strength and intentions, not kindness and open-heartedness, are vital in poker. No one thinks any the worse of poker on that account, and no one should think any the worse of the game of business, because its standards of right and wrong differ from the prevailing traditions of morality in our society. That most businessmen are not indifferent to ethics in their private lives, everyone will agree. My point is that in their office lives they cease to be private citizens. They become game players who must be guided by a somewhat different set of ethical standards. The point was forcibly made to me by a Midwestern executive who has given a good deal of thought to the question. So long as a businessman complies with the laws of the land and avoids telling harmful lies, he's ethical. If the law as written gives a man a wide-open chance to make a killing, he'd be a fool not to take advantage of it. If he doesn't, someone else will. There's no obligation on him to stop and consider who's going to get hurt. If the law says he can do it, that's all the justification he needs. There's nothing unethical about it. It's just plain business sense. I think it is fair to sum up the prevailing attitude of businessmen on ethics as follows. We live in what is probably the most competitive of the world's civilized societies. Our customs encourage a high degree of aggression in the individual striving for success. Business is our main area of competition, and it has been made into a game of strategy. The basic rules of the game have been set by the government, which attempts to detect and punish business frauds. But as long as a company does not break the rules of the game set by law, it has the legal right to shape its strategy without reference to anything but its profits. Decisions in this area are, finally, decisions of strategy, not of ethics. If a man plans to take a seat in the business game, he owes it to himself to master the principles by which the game is played, including its special ethical outlook. He can then hardly fail to recognize that an occasional bluff may well be justified in terms of the game's ethics and warranted in terms of economic necessity. Once he clears his mind on this point, he is in a good position to match his strategy against that of the other players. He can then determine objectively whether a bluff in a given situation has a good chance of succeeding, and can decide when and how to bluff, without a feeling of ethical damage. To be a winner, a man must play to win. This does not mean that he must be cruel, harsh, or treacherous. On the contrary, the better his reputation for integrity, honesty, and decency, the better his chances of victory will be in the long run. But from time to time, every businessman, like every poker player, is offered a choice between certain loss or bluffing within the legal rules of the game. If he is not resigned to losing, if he wants to rise in his company and industry, then in such a crisis he will bluff, and bluff hard. Every now and then one meets a successful businessman who has conveniently forgotten the small or large deceptions that he practiced on his way to fortune. God gave me my money, old John D. Rockefeller once piously told the Sunday school class. It would be a rare tycoon in our time who would risk the loud laugh with which such a remark would be greeted. In the last third of the 20th century, even children are aware that if a man has become prosperous in business, he has sometimes departed from the strict truth in order to overcome obstacles, or has practiced the more subtle deceptions of the half-truth, or the misleading omission. Whatever the form of the bluff, it is an integral part of the game, and the executive who does not master its techniques is not likely to accumulate much money or power.